This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We've been on this topic of servanthood for the last few weeks, and it's been really great. How many have enjoyed it? And it's sometimes things that God drops into your lap that you were not expecting that are really the most beautiful things. And so God really just dropped this series into our lap. And as we were listening to it, it's one of those things that Jesus did with his disciples that he taught them something and just completely changed their perspective. It was one of those aha moments, and servanthood for his disciples was a game changer. And I believe for our Christian walk, it's a game changer for us to really understand what servanthood is. So maybe you're at a place in your Christian walk where you get it, you get servanthood. Or maybe you're at a place where you're about to get it, you're about to get that breakthrough. Or maybe you're at the in-between place where God's saying, hey, I want to stretch you a little bit in this season. But either way, I pray that you walk away with something that God really divinely speaks to you today. So go with me right now. Jesus is at the Last Supper. He's really at this place with his disciples. They don't know this is the last lesson before Jesus dies, but Jesus knows. And so Jesus is going to teach them this one last lesson before he dies. And he gives them this question and he kind of hangs it out there. And has anybody ever had a mentor or somebody that you looked up to and they asked you a question and you were wondering, is that a trick question? You know, and you're wondering, you know, how exactly am I supposed to answer that question? And Jesus kind of gives the disciples one of those questions, just puts it out there and just leaves it hanging. And it's right here in Luke 22:27. He asked the disciples, who is more important? Look at somebody today and ask them, who is more important? Who is more important? I know. Probably, you know, sometimes because of the way we're thinking, we come in here and we say, well, isn't everybody equal? Well, maybe, or maybe not. Jesus leaves this question, just leaves it out there hanging. Maybe it's something for us to go home and think about. Who is more important? He says, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? And he continues, he says, well, the one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as the one who serves. He gives them this question, who is more important? Who is greater? Who is more important? Jesus asked this question. Let's read the whole story so we understand in context. Luke 22, we'll start at verse 20. It says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as friends, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. And then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. This kind of seems like one of those conversations. You know, how many have kids, or you're at least an aunt or an uncle or a nephew, or you know, and you're listening to the kids and you're like, how did you get to this? You guys were arguing about this and now you're arguing about that. First you start arguing about who is it that has betrayed him, and now you're on who is the greatest. Like, how did you get from over here to over there? But it's interesting because I think all things happen for a reason. So they begin to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves. Jesus starts talking about his new covenant, the new covenant with us, a covenant that's based on him pouring his life out and giving us salvation. So in one breath, he's talking about salvation, and in the next breath, he's talking about servanthood. In one breath, this is his final lesson, and in one breath, he explains to us about the new covenant being about sacrifice, and then he continues to explain how it's also about service. And he begins to connect these two concepts together. This is not just a one-time thing. It's mirrored in Scripture in a lot of different other places. One place is Matthew 20:28. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." So he connected the two concepts of salvation and service. And so I think a lot of times as Christians, we try to disconnect these two concepts and we say, okay, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to live for the Lord, but serving, you know, I'm going to put that on the side. Maybe not right now, maybe later I'll do that. But right now I'm just going to focus on the fact that I love the Lord. I'm going to do it my way. How many have ever done it your way? We should all have our hands up. We've all tried to do it our own way sometimes. And we try to disconnect those two concepts, but Jesus connected them. He said, salvation. And then he immediately begins teaching about servanthood, the new covenant, sacrifice, and service. The new covenant, he explains to us, if we were to take this in context, is sacrifice and service. Sacrifice. So he explains to us, if you're jostling or trying to put yourself first, you don't get it. The disciples were arguing about who's greatest. Jesus said, that's not greatness. People at the party trying to get the best seats for themselves, that's not greatness. Jesus says, instead, take the lowest rank. Be humble. Take the role of a servant. He asks the question, who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Jesus said, it's the servant that's the greatest in the kingdom. It's the servant. The kingdom of God is all about serving others. That's what Jesus is trying to show us. The kingdom of God is about servanthood. And so we have to make it a lifestyle. He says the greatest in the kingdom, the greatest among you disciples are going to grab this concept and you're going to run with it. Servanthood. If you want to be a leader, serve. I am your leader and I'm the greatest servant. I think a lot of times in life we get puffed up in our pursuit to try to do great things, try to do great things for God, try to do great things for our family, and we forget the simple fundamentals that really bring about true greatness. Serving. Serving. Let me take you to Luke 14:11. We read it in the first week. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So if I'm trying to make a name for myself, if I'm trying to promote myself, if I'm trying to be my own PR person, guess what? Either life or the Lord or circumstance, something's going to happen and I'm going to be brought down low. But if I take a low position and I'm humble and I serve, guess what? It says God exalts those type of values. God exalts that type of person. So the question is, how can I humble myself? How can I be a better servant? Because I want God to exalt me. Does anybody here want God to exalt you? I started thinking, man, we wear ourselves out sometimes trying to do it our own way. In our own capacity, in our own ability, in our own strength, we're trying to promote ourselves, to elevate ourselves. But here's a thought that we should be thinking. God can elevate you far beyond where you can elevate yourself. God can elevate you far beyond where you can elevate yourself. That means if I try, I might temporarily succeed. But if I get on God's strategy and God's plan, guess what? I will be catapulted into my destiny. I will be successful. I will be great if I do it God's way. But I have to be humble. I have to do it the God way. I have to seek out his way. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Or, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So as we're seeking him and to do it his way, to do it the right way, he's going to give us what we need. He's going to elevate. He's going to open up doors. He's going to give promotion. He's going to be the promoter. God wants to be your promoter. Turn to somebody and tell him, God wants to be your promoter. But I think we believe that in theory, but we don't really sit down and say, you know what? God is going to be the person that my next promotion comes from. God is going to be the person that opens the next door for me. It might look like this person in the natural, but God is standing behind that person, making things happen. This is what the scripture tells us. Luke 1:74. "We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear." We have been rescued so we can serve. We have been saved so we can be in a spirit of servanthood. It's connected. Throughout scripture, we see a connection between salvation and service. We see a salvation. We have been rescued from our enemies. Our enemies. What is our enemy? Sin. Sin is our enemy. The devil's not your main enemy. Sin is your main enemy. Sin causes death, right? Sin causes separation from God. The devil can tempt you, but sin will kill you. We've been rescued from sin and the power of the repercussions of sin so that we can better serve God. Isn't that a powerful thought? So Jesus rescued us from sin so that we can serve God. So now that we've been saved, listen, our mission is to serve. Jesus said, "Do as I do. Watch me wash these feet." Now you wash each other's feet. Now you serve each other. Now do it like I did it. He's not talking about just having clean feet. He's not just talking about making sure your neighbors have clean feet. He's talking about us having a heart to serve one another. To get down, get humble, and serve the people that God has placed around us. We've been rescued so that we can serve. Now that we've been saved, our mission is to serve. That's what Jesus did. I see this in Luke 22. The Last Supper teaching. "Here's a new covenant I give you. It's my sacrifice, it's your service. My sacrifice, your service." Jesus first sacrificed and served so we could learn to sacrifice and serve. His sacrifice, my service. We look to him and we learn how to lay down our life and how to serve others. And here's the great part about it. Let me take a step back. Here's the great part about it. Jesus he's in the wilderness being tempted 40 days. He's hungry and he battles back the devil with the scripture, right? The word of God. One of the scriptures he used was Deuteronomy 6:13, which says, you must fear the Lord your God and serve him. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. So when you're being tempted and when you're being tested, remember this is one of the three scriptures that Jesus fought back the devil with. You must fear the Lord and serve him. You must fear the Lord and serve him. It's a fundamental thing of our faith. And when storms are rocking and things are crazy in our life, remember, you must fear the Lord and serve him. Or another way to say it is, honor God and serve him. And here's the thing that happens. When we're honoring God by serving him, something interesting happens. The more that we serve God, the more it makes us want to serve others. It's a contagious concept. Serving is contagious. The more you serve God, the more you will want to serve others. You're not just do it begrudgingly, but the more you really truly serve God, the more you have a growing desire to serve others around you, whether they're lost or whether they're brothers and sisters in Christ. First we serve him, then we serve them, then we serve each other. Serving is contagious like that. Remember what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments in Matthew 22. He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord. And you put that first, of course, if it's the most important. But loving God actually causes you to want to love your neighbor. As I love God, it makes me want to love my neighbor. Likewise, when I serve God, it makes me want to serve my neighbor. Serving God leads to other things. It's contagious. Serving God causes you to serve other people. It's like the more that you serve God, John 3:16 gets stirred in you. For God so loved the world that he gave of himself. And so when we love God, we give of ourselves. When we love God, we find ourselves serving. We're giving of ourselves. We're serving from who we are. It's contagious. Serving is contagious. The more you serve God, the more you serve others. Conversely, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because he saw their actions, right? Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. He saw that they weren't serving the people, and he said, I know that you're not serving God because you're not serving the people. Because if you were serving God, you would help these people. And you wouldn't just pile up on them a bunch of laws and rules and make it so difficult for them and really keep them from the truth. As Christians, we should be known by how well we love, right? We should know that we're Christians by our love. They should know we're Christians by our love. And one of the best ways that love is demonstrated is by service. When we serve, love leads you to give, to serve. And so we see that serving God makes you a better servant to the people. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Look at somebody and say, you're going to serve somebody or something. I think sometimes we think, oh, I don't have to serve. But actually, we're all serving something. We can serve our own selfish desires. We can serve a natural relationship. We can serve things. We can serve money. Or we can serve God. The Bible actually tells us to serve God only. Look at somebody say, serve God only. And you might be saying, Pastor, didn't you just make the point we're supposed to serve each other? But actually, when we're doing it the right way, God counts it all as a service to him. And when we do it all the right way, we're actually doing it all through him. It's in him we live and we move and we have our being. Right? It's through my love and my relationship with God and my knowledge of who he is and his character that makes me want to serve. So I'm not serving my own way. How many know when we serve our own way, we can do it more damage sometimes than good? How many have ever fallen victim to giving natural compassion? And how many know that natural compassion oftentimes leads to enabling somebody? But when we do things through him, we love through him and we serve through him and we do it in his spirit, guess what? We do it the right way. Isn't that what it said in Matthew 25:31-46? He says, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And when we're doing it his way, when we're serving his way, God says, you're serving me. Oh, that pleases me. You served me today. I said, well, God, no. I was just serving this poor person or just somebody that didn't have whatever. And he says, no. As you've done it to me. Just as you've done it to the people that didn't have around you. It's like you did it to me. I'm counting it as you did it to me. We serve through God. We serve Him first. And He is the door to all the right places that we need to serve. When I serve Him first, that He's the doorway to serve my spouse the right way. When I serve Him first, He's the doorway to serve my kids the right way. When I serve Him first, He's the doorway to serve the lost. My friends, your coworkers, family members. He's the doorway to serve. And I think if we really get our heads wrapped around keeping our focus on Him, Paul said it this way, fix your eyes on Christ, who is the author and the finisher. I think this is why we stop serving sometimes, because somebody didn't say thank you. I worked so hard and they didn't appreciate me. I worked so hard and they misunderstood me, and then they started talking behind my back. So I'm not doing that anymore. But you see, if we're serving through God and we're serving Him first, it doesn't matter if somebody says thank you. It doesn't matter if somebody pats you on the back. It doesn't matter if somebody disrespects you. It's all for God. I direct my focus back to God. Because in the first place, I started off serving God first. So if I'm disrespected here, I put my focus back on God and I say, God, just remember, I'm serving You. I'm serving You today. And when we do that, we can serve people that have difficult personalities. We can serve people when they're showing us their ugliest side. Because we're serving Him first. We're serving Him. What a way to look at life. What a way to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's difficult to offend somebody that has fixed their eyes on Jesus. It's difficult to, you see, for us to get offended, that means I fixed my eyes on what you're doing, Tiffany. And I become offended with what you're doing and how we're relating to each other. And we tried to do that ministry thing together, and you kind of made me feel bad, and you kind of did me wrong. And so now I'm offended. But what if I'm in partnership with people, but I've fixed my eyes on Christ Jesus, and He's the author and the finisher of my faith? Sometimes I might work with, I might work to serve, I might serve alongside of some people that offend me. That's okay. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing it for God first. And if you don't like what I'm doing, I put my focus back on Jesus. We can learn so much from Jesus. He served us before we deserved it. He served us before we even knew to say thank you. He served us and died for us before we were even in a position to know we were supposed to say thank you. Can we do like Jesus did and serve others that sometimes might not deserve it? Can we serve somebody else that's disrespectful, that's unappreciative, that's running their mouth off, but serve them in a spirit of love the way that Christ did? Woo, that's Christianity. Everybody can serve somebody that's easy to serve. But can you serve somebody that is showing you the worst side of themselves? That's a test of your Christian values. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You, Lord, for what You're showing and what You're saying to us today, God. God, You love to stretch us so that we can become more like You. You showed us what it is to serve. You showed us what it is to lay our life down and lay the things that are down that are important to us, and to serve others, to be a better servant, to be a better blessing to those that are around us. God, I thank you that you touch our heart, move our spirit, that we would have such a desire to serve. As we're serving you, that we would want, we would desire to serve others. God, and I know you've placed people in our lives even now around us that need us to step out and serve them. Maybe it's somebody that's lost. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's somebody at church. Maybe it's somebody we used to know. Maybe it's somebody we meet at the grocery store. God, it's your Holy Spirit that leads us and just touches our heart sometime and say, serve that person. That's an opportunity. Serve that person. Thank you for giving us a heart to serve. And maybe his heads are bowed and everybody's just thinking, reflecting. Maybe you say, Pastor, I know I haven't been living right. I want to give my heart to Jesus. And maybe you were at the right place at one time. You say, you know what? I've just kind of drifted off and I need to say, God, I'm sorry. And God, I want to reconnect with you. Jesus, I need you now more than ever. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Most important decision is when we say, yes, Jesus, I need you. If that was you, I want to pray with you. You can say this prayer with me. And everybody, you can say this prayer in agreement with us. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my shortcomings. Sorry for my failures. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to do things your way. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking away my sins. I receive your free gift of salvation. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to lay my life down and be something new in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.